Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you are UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have someone real special on the line, Brenda Braxton. Oh my goodness, you know, it's only every now and then I get gassed about who I'm interviewing, and so, you know, when you have the legends come through the ranks, you just gotta pay homage, and, you know, I'm just thankful. Brenda, thank you so much for coming through.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So let's get right on into it. It'd probably take 5 days to get through all that you've done, but we got just a few minutes. You know, did you know you wanted to be on Broadway with the bright lights that shine?
I didn't know I wanted to be on Broadway, but I knew I loved dancing. Mm-hmm. I knew it was something that I wanted to do. I didn't know anything about Broadway.
Oh, okay.
I went to Catholic school for about 8 years in the Bronx.
Okay.
And when it was time to graduate, my mom wanted me to go to a Catholic high school. And I was not crazy about that idea. And I had a guidance counselor tell me about performing arts high school.
Uh-huh.
And that's what actually opened up the whole world of performing and musical theater and Broadway and all of that. So that's when I really knew, oh, this is what I want to do.
Was you in a school play or something, or was just the curriculum of performing arts?
No,
that
it was
you just...
the curriculum. Yeah,
okay.
It was the curriculum. I was in the dance department at Performing Arts down on 46th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually took us on a trip to Broadway. And I think I saw, what did I see? Simeon's Rainbow or something like that. And then we went to see Raisin.
Mm-hmm.
With Debbie Allen when she came to Broadway with Raisin. And I knew, oh, yeah, I like that. I still didn't know the ins and outs of it, but I knew that I enjoyed watching it. And you know, and being in school, we did have a course called musical theater and where we learned how to audition, things like that. So I figured, okay, and about a year out of high school, I got my first Broadway show. So
okay.
I must have been doing something right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, what a heavyweight to meet when you coming into the game, Debbie Allen. Have you ever met her before, you know, after you became?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I did a show with Debbie Allen. I worked with Vinette Carroll. I don't know if you...
Yes, I know who that is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I worked with Vinette Carroll for a long time, and we did a show called Alice. And
okay.
It was a kind of a different urban kind of version of Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
And Debbie played Alice.
Okay.
So she was Alice, and I was one of the dancers in the ensemble. And, of course, I did Dreamgirls with Felicia.
Right.
Started out in the chorus with me and Dreamgirls.
Man.
And so I know them very well.
Okay, okay. Yeah. And your first musical was Guys and Dolls?
Yes, the black version of Guys and Dolls with Robert Guillaume and Ken Page, bless his soul.
Mm-hmm.
Ernestine Jackson, and who else was in there? Mabel King. And who else was in there? I can't remember offhand, but it was such a good... Billy Wilson did the direction and choreography. It was a great show. It was gorgeous, beautiful.
Now, when you came into the business, were there a lot of, you know, African-American plays?
No.
Or were you part of
whole
ensemble?
Actually, there was a boom during the time I came in.
Okay.
There was Guys and Dolls. There was, Bubbling Brown Sugar.
Oh, right. I remember that.
Sophisticated Ladies. And yeah, so it was a boom for black folks on Broadway.
Oh, so you was on the come up.
Got in at times.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that was good. At least you didn't have to go through. Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes you still got to go through those, you know, those levels. But Smokey.
Oh, you still go through them.
Okay. Let it be told. Let it be told.
Because there's so many of us and still not a lot of shows. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's so many talented people of color. And still not a lot of shows. A lot of shows that you want to be in. I don't want to do Showboat. Nothing against people who have done Showboat.
Right.
But that's not necessarily what I want to do.
Right, right.
You know, so there's still just a few good Broadway musicals for black women of color, period.
Yeah, yeah. I just watched When Hell Freezes Over, I'll Skate. And oh my goodness. To me, I mean, we're in 2025, and I was like, that's still such a powerful performance. And like, did y'all know the staple you was putting in the earth when y'all did that?
Not at all. And it never really got it to do. I think maybe if it had a resurgence now, it would be even better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about poetry.
Right.
But our poetry.
Yeah.
So we, but when Hell Freeze Over Our Skate, that was, again, Vinette Carroll.
Uh-huh.
And it came about just by us sitting around and looking through all of this poetry. And then Clinton and Clearvont putting songs to some of it. And Vinette seeing who went with what poem.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? So it took us a while, but we didn't know what we had at first. We really, really didn't know what we had. And we worked with Sally Beatty and who else? It was Chapman Roberts and Roberts. Who else was it? So of course, in the ensemble, you had Reginald Bell Johnson, and you had myself and Clinton, again, Clinton, Derrick Carroll, and Clearvont Derrick. Clearvont ended up getting the Tony Award for Dream Girls and moving on to, you know, a TV show,
right,
stuff like that. And so, you know, you had some good folks in the show itself as well. Lynn Thigpen, God bless her soul.
Mm-hmm.
She was an amazing actress. Who else was in there? Yeah, so it was a good show. I hope it does make a resurgence.
Well, for those of you who are listening, it is on YouTube. I don't know who authorized it, but it is on YouTube. So make sure you go watch When Hell Freezes Over, I'll Skate. You're going to be blessed by that. You're going to be blessed by that. Smokey Joe's Cafe, which earned you a Tony Award nomination, as well as other awards for all the work you've done. Did you all know Smokey Joe's Cafe was going to be that successful? Because they're still like other people doing their own little portrayal of what you guys did.
I know. No, we had no idea. And the funny story about how I got that show, I was doing a show called Hot Mikado that was getting ready to go out of town to Washington for a run.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were rehearsing. We were doing our final dress rehearsal downtown at the rehearsal studio called 890, where a lot of shows used to rehearse and stuff like that. And so I was up on the ninth floor, and we had our run-through, and my friend Ken Ard ran upstairs, and he was like, do you know that they're downstairs? And the show wasn't called Smokey Joe's Cafe back then. It was called something else.
Uh-huh.
And he said, do you know that they're looking for a Brenda Braxton type?
What?
And I was like, I'm sorry, a what? He said, they are downstairs looking, they're auditioning people for a Brenda Braxton type. And so I ran downstairs, and sure enough, they were looking for a Brenda Braxton type. And I was like, excuse me, but I'm here. And they were like, we didn't know where you were.
Oh,
so
wow.
I did audition for them, and I ended up going to Washington for, you know, because they hadn't made a decision.
Right.
So I went to Washington with Hot Mikado, and I'll never forget, I was sitting in the dressing room just waiting for the show to start. Oh, I might have been at intermission. I think it was intermission. And this is when you still use the payphone in the theater. I don't know if young folks don't know about this anymore.
Right.
You got all your quarters together so you can use the phone. But I was sitting there, and someone said, Brenda, there's a phone call for you. And it was the stage manager of the show. And he was like, so you want to do the show? And I was like, yeah, I want to do the show.
Right.
So for 6 weeks, I ended up doing the show, doing Hot Mikado in Washington, taking the train in the morning to rehearse Smokey Joe's at 10 o'clock, and then taking the train back to get back to Washington for the evening show of Hot Mikado. So I did that for about 6 weeks, just back and forth, and forth. It was crazy, but I guess it was worth it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know what was crazy? Yeah. When I saw you, I'm watching TV, and I see you on the Thanksgiving Day parade, and I'm like,
yeah.
Look at Brenda!
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I love knowing
that
people.
That was amazing.
Yeah. And then seeing your friend on TV, you're like, what? You know?
Yes.
Man.
Yes. And we did it twice. We did two parades.
Oh, wow. That's when you know.
Yes.
That's when you know. You're like, okay, I'm there. I'm it. You know, that's it.
Yes.
You
it was fun.
You talked about going back and forth and working, doing what you needed to do to prepare for Smokey Joe's. The weight of your work as a performer, actress, and dancer is great, you know, and of course you look good, girl.
Thank you.
What are the disciplines to maintain a night after night, even sometimes a two-day performance, two times in a day performance, work schedule like?
Well, you have to love the show. I don't think you'll laugh in a show that you don't really like.
Okay.
Doing eight shows a week, you know, two shows on Saturday, two shows Sunday, right, or two shows Wednesday, two shows Saturday. I think you have to enjoy the piece. Mm-hmm. You have to have some kind of stake in what you're doing and believe in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Smokey Joe's was so much fun. I was there for, almost all of us were there for the whole run.
Right.
And we were on Broadway for about 4 years, which is unprecedented, because we did not get good reviews at first at all. We were the first jukebox kind of review show on Broadway. And so people weren't used to it, and they were like, what is this? What is, it's just songs, there's no storyline, and da da da. But it was so entertaining, and you had such talented people. Otis Saleed really chose people and gave them things to do that really spoke to who they were. Like the character that I played, Brenda, which was another thing, to have a character named after you,
right,
was me. It's truly me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? BJ's character was truly her. Fred, you know, the bass in our company was truly Fred.
Right.
And so that was, I think that was the magic of the show as well. You know, we had Victor Cook, who was kind of quirky, kind of, but his voice was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Otis did an amazing job of casting the show. So that's part of it as well.
Right.
And then we just loved putting it together and seeing what worked and what didn't work and changing things, because we went to Chicago first and it was a totally different show. And then they ended up getting rid of Otis Saleed, who was the original director choreographer. And they brought in Susan Schulman, not Susan Stroman, Susan Schulman. She was the one who gave me the boa to play with and to work on and stuff like that, which became an iconic kind of thing for me, the boa.
Right.
Everybody wants me to bring that darn boa every place.
Lord.
So she was the one who gave me the boa. And then when they decided to bring it into Broadway, that's when Jerry Zaks came on board. Jerry Zaks and, oh God, I can't remember the choreographer's name. Joey McNeely, that was his name.
Okay.
So that's when they came on board. And the rest is history.
But how do you how do you condition your body, your vocals, your mindset to do this time after time after time?
I think it's part of it is schooling, if you were blessed enough to go to school.
Okay.
And learn your craft so that you could do it. You know, there are things, sometimes there are people who can wake up and just sing.
Okay.
You know, that they're just gifted like that.
Right.
Or they can wake up, do a little warm-up and hit it. So I think that's part of the discipline, that you've gone to school and you know your craft. You know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think also, I don't know, just I don't even know how to put it, because it was just something that was in me. The work ethic was in me.
Right, gotcha.
Working with good people, too. Like, working with Vinette Carroll was no joke. And it really, really kind of shaped who I am and what kind of performer I am, because she had some rules that were amazing, you know?
Yeah.
She had some rules like, darling, diction.
Yes.
So I think that's why she would say, bite into the words so that people can understand you.
Right.
And she also had a saying, do not become seduced or reduced by the audience, which I think is brilliant.
Right.
Because sometimes people, they try to work so hard to get, you know, a rise out of the audience or some kind of,
yeah.
And that's not what it's about. It's about knowing your show well enough that your show is your show no matter what. You give 100% of whatever you have no matter what.
Right.
You don't, you know, of course you hear the accolades and all that, but you know your show.
Right.
And you come there to do your show, period.
Period.
So I think that was part of it. Period. Or as they say, period.
Right. Diction, honey. Period. Diction. Right.
Yes. Diction, darling.
Diction.
So I think it comes, from doing it and being serious about it and not thinking that anybody owes you anything, not thinking that you know everything when you come in. I think that's part of the problem with a lot of performers nowadays, that mm-hmm. they feel like, oh, I've gone to school, so I have arrived.
Okay.
No, you haven't. You graduated, but that's Ooh, about it.
Right, okay? Right.
Yes. Okay.
I love
so
it.
So you need to do a couple of things before you can say, oh, I have arrived. I don't even feel like I have arrived yet.
Man.
You know, and I've been doing this 40 plus years.
That's right. Over
so
4 decades.
You can't take yourself so serious. Yeah. You've got to keep up your craft no matter what. Like, I know now they're talking about, oh, we can't do 8 shows a week. We, you know, it's not vocally sustainable. Then stop trying to sing so high. Not everybody needs to be screaming.
Right, right, right. True story.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do it so you can do your 8 shows a week.
Okay.
How long have we had 8 shows a week? And people have done 8 shows a week. All of a sudden, you got to cut it down to 6. Not understanding that.
Yeah.
Jennifer Holliday did 8 shows a week of Dreamgirls. 8 shows a week.
Wow.
And every time she sang that song,
she hit the same. Yeah.
You know what
Man.
I mean? You know, nobody owes you anything. If you can't do the work, then don't do the show.
Mm.
Period.
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 Man, that was a bar right there. And I mean, to the point where you wrote a book, The Little Black Book of Backstage Etiquette, to help new artists navigate through their behind the scenes in theater. Now, did you see something and was like, I need to school them? Or or was it you just trying to keep a standard within the community?
No, it was. I was doing The Wiz down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared the dressing room with the young girl who was playing Dorothy. And there's a tradition that, you know, you give your dresser a little tip at the end of the week or at the end of the month or whatever. And so you can either do it by yourself or you can do it with whoever you're sharing a dressing room with,
right,
if you have the same dresser that, you know, that takes care of you. And so I asked her, you know, do you want to go in together or do you want to take care of yours and I'll take care of mine? And she didn't really have an idea of really what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking, I was like, there's a lot of things that go on backstage that people are not taught. They just kind of watch and learn. And somebody needs to write a book about that.
Right.
Ah, okay. Ding, ding, ding.
Right.
So I started writing the book. And it's just pretty much everyday things backstage, you know, to tip your dresser, how to treat your stage hands, at least get to know their name.
Right.
Get to know the doorman's name. It's just little things. That, it's common courtesy. You know, don't play your music black in the dressing room if you're sharing a dressing room with people.
Right.
Don't spray your perfume so that it's choking everybody. You know what I mean?
I love it.
It's just little things, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you've come up. I'm glad you wrote that book because as an elder, you know, we have to pass down. We still got to pass down these nuggets to people, you know.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it will get lost.
And it's something that is not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's a theater thing.
Right.
You know? It's a theater thing. It's not about, you know, your age, your,
right,
your
right.
color.
It's the community.
It's a community.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been doing this mm-hmm. business, like we said, for over 4 decades, and you have transcended through. And I'm going to say it. You've seen so much, the civil rights. You broke in the business just in time that you wasn't like, you too dark, you too this.
Well, but you know what? I did go through that. Because, I went through that.
Well, share what? I thought you slipped on in. But go ahead.
Oh, no. I was almost always the one black girl.
Okay.
And when I remember trying to get an agent once, and because I don't technically have the all black look, you know,
right.
I've got large lips, My nose is small. My eyes are kind of thin and slanted. You know, I'm mixed with something. So mixed, but something else is up and through there.
Right. You're not sister girl number one.
I'm not. No. And I remember the agent saying to me, I'm not sure where I can put you.
Wow.
And I was like, really? I'm thinking, I'm a black girl. You can put me with the black girls. When you're black, you can put me, you know. And he was like, well, you don't have that kind of all-American kind of black.
Oh, my goodness. Not the, no. Yes. No, yes, Brenda, yes, say yes. It's not so. Yes.
Oh. I also remember doing a show. It was, what they used to call them, industrial. It was called an industrial, where we would advertise different, you know, different products and things like that. And it was a bunch of girls. I was the only black girl, of course. And they started talking about costumes and what they would look like. And they started talking about flesh-colored hose and flesh-colored shoes and things like that. And they brought in all of these beige shoes. And I'm sitting there going, okay, where's my flesh-colored shoes? They hadn't even thought about it.
Wow.
Now, you see how dark I am.
I know.
They hadn't even thought about flesh color. So they ended up having to dye shoes. I had to bring in my own pantyhose. It was crazy. I always had to bring my own makeup.
Right.
Always had to bring my own hair product.
Right.
You know, so that's why sometimes I listen to these kids nowadays about what they ain't got and what they have and what they should have. And I'm like, y'all don't even know.
Right.
I can't even tell you how much money out of my own pocket I had to put forth.
Wow.
In order to have my flesh colored stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I've gone through it, definitely.
Well, you made it and you have maintained, to enter to what people, you talking about the young people call the culture right now. I mean, your resume includes Jelly / Jam with Gregory Hines and Cats and Lex Diamond, Pearly, Dream Girls. And then you're on Broadway with the hit musical Chicago with Usher, bringing your good wealth of experience to the table while also being introduced to the younger audience in an era of talent versus name.
Mm.
Not that Usher is not a skilled professional, because I've seen his work and, you know, been around him, whose talent and craft he takes very seriously, but he's not from Broadway per se that I know of. I don't know, maybe.
No, he's not, but he was wonderful. I have to honestly say, he did his homework. That's what it's about.
What's that transition like, putting in work to 2025, if you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting because...
Come on, talk your talk, Brenda.
I know. Again, I'll say so many youngins come in with the idea that they have arrived and that Broadway or theater or television, it owes it to them because they've gone to school and they have the piece of paper and they have this and they have that. And half of them can't sustain 8 shows a week.
Come on.
Half of them can't. They don't know how to take a note. When your director gives you a note, they don't know how to take it and implement it into what you're doing. Everybody wants to get offended, and you didn't call them the right pronoun, and you didn't call them, and I'm having a personal moment today, and I'm having a personal time, my personal time is I come in to do the work.
Right.
That's it. My personal time, I leave personal, and I come in to do the work. All that other stuff doesn't really matter.
Man.
It doesn't matter when you're in the room to work.
Right.
I don't feel like I want to come into, like, I was just talking about it today at the rehearsal that I was at. I don't feel like coming into a rehearsal. You have hired me to do a role, to learn it. I don't want to come in and sit in a circle and talk about everybody's morning. That's not why I'm here. Give me the script. Teach me my part, if it's a musical.
Right.
And let's get the work done.
Right.
I don't feel like hearing about your kitty cat had vomited in the morning, and so that took you into I don't care. I don't care. Unless somebody, like, loses someone. You know what I mean?
That's different.
If you're going
right.
through, that's different. But I don't need to know all this other stuff. I but I don't need to know it.
Right.
I really don't. I need you to come in ready to do the work. I need you come in ready to make adjustments, ready to respect your other performers, ready to feed off of your other performers, ready to communicate what you need as the whatever character you're playing.
Right.
This is the workplace. This isn't my life place. This is the workplace. And yet we can have fun. We have a good time.
Right.
But we're here to work. We're here to put in the work.
Who's someone you enjoyed working with the most? I know that might be hard because of your legacy, but if there was one person that you worked with, who would that be?
Oh, who would that be? Oh, my goodness. I enjoyed my Smokey Joe's family. I really did.
Okay.
And I couldn't really pinpoint any one person because we just all worked together. We worked, loved, and hated each other all together.
All day. Right?
You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we respected each other and we knew it was about the work. Again, it was about the work.
Right, right.
Now, I had a good time. Who was I working with? I actually had a good time working with Bebe Neuwirth. Mm-hmm. So she came in to play Roxy while I was playing Velma in Chicago on Broadway. Uh-huh. So I had a good time with her. And I had a good time with Rita Wilson,
mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks' wife, because she came in to do Roxy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I had a good time. I have a friend, Bianca Marroquin. We started Chicago together on the road and then brought it back to, came back into Broadway with it. And Charlotte Dembois. I had a really, really good time with Charlotte. Who else? Oh, Dreamgirls, we had a ball too. Dreamgirls was just epic.
Right.
Because
we
were out of town with it for I think 9 weeks and then brought it back to Broadway, and it was a game changer.
Right.
It really was a game changer. So I had I've had several people that I enjoyed working with and learned from.
I want to talk about your dancing. You know, what can you share with us about that part of your life?
Well, interestingly enough, I wanted to be a ballerina. I wanted to be one of the first women on point to, like, really, really make it. Like, what's her name that's retiring now? Oh, my God. Her name slipped me. But anyway, that's what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
But in high school, in your sophomore year, going into your junior year, you get to choose if you're going to be in the ballet department or the modern department. And I had a teacher who told me that I would never be a ballerina. So that made me switch to the modern department.
Oh,
but everything happens for a reason.
True. Yeah.
Because, you know, who knows what would have happened if I had stayed in the ballet department.
Right.
With life and theater being what it is and the ballet world being what it is or was.
Right,
You know, but in the modern department, I was able to take musical theater and learn how to audition and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So that molded me into who I am right now.
Okay.
And I think working so hard in high school as a dancer, learning technique, which is a whole nother thing. These kids nowadays, a lot of them don't have the basic technique of things to sustain 8 shows a week. They want to thrash and throw their body around and get overstretch themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not what it's about, really.
Right.
That's like makes you go, ooh, ah. But it's going to be hard on them down the line.
Right, right. True story.
You have no technique. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think being able to be in performing arts for the 4 years, I had my 2 years of both Graham technique and ballet, which gives you the strength and the technique.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able in my junior and senior year to focus on Graham, which also helps with your technique. And then also have a taste of musical theater. And that's what helped me slide right into Broadway.
Right.
You know, as a Broadway performer. And I'm not blessed with creating steps and movement, things like that. I'm not blessed with that. There are folks out there who are choreographers, like working with Michael Peters and them.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Michael Peters.
So,
we shut the whole conversation down.
Was,
right.
What?
Right. We shut the, that's the end of story.
Exactly.
Yeah, every choreographer needs to sit down right now. We're talking about Michael Peters.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't consider myself a choreographer. I don't consider myself a singer. I can sing, but you got people like Jennifer who sing.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Again, they wake up in the morning singing. I can sing.
Right.
But I don't consider myself a singer. I do consider myself an entertainer. I can entertain you. I can wake up and make you laugh. I can, you know, I can carry a tune. I can move a hip and all that. So I can, it's kind of like Sammy Davis Jr. You know, Sammy could sing, he could dance, so he was an entertainer.
Gotcha.
So that's what I kind of consider myself.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you have moved from stage to TV. Girl, I saw you. I was like, look at that. No. Because that's my show too, you know, so they, what? What is happening right now? Yes. Well, I didn't even know that. But anyway, your TV credits include Nurse Jackie, Smash Girls, Getaway, Gone Wrong 2. But I want to talk about The Good Fight because that's my show right there. And you look good. You was on.
Oh,
I was like,
was so good.
Oh, my goodness. I was like, look at you better. Go ahead, Brenda. Tell him, Brenda. No.
Yes. And that was supposed to be, I think, one scene, and that was it. And it ended up, I think I was on for 4 seasons and got a name, you know, once you get a name.
Right.
Name, that means
you
made it. And so partner Madeline Guilford became a staple. She said no to everything.
She said, no,
we're not doing that. No.
Right.
And I was so looking forward to seeing where her character went. And then they decided to pull it. They decided to, you know, think it's also because Audra was doing a lot of stuff. Christine Grantke was doing a lot of stuff. And we kind of caught the brunt end of it.
Right.
So, but yeah, I loved doing that.
Now, how is it being on stage and then doing TV with all the cameras, lights, action?
It's totally different. I was so scared the first couple of times. I was like, oh, because there's different rules.
Different
ways of being, different ways of talking. I'll never forget being on set the first time and watching like Delroy Lindo and those folks.
I love Delroy.
So good. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, they're so good at it. And just watching them.
Right.
And basically, they talked like this. All they were doing was just talking like this.
Uh-huh.
And you know, theater, you're used to talking like this. This is how you talk. And I remember going, oh my goodness, I need to practice talking here like I'm just merely talking to a regular person.
Right.
Because I went in there ready to project, baby. I was ready to give them projection. Diction, darling.
Diction.
But that is where diction paid off.
Right.
Because when you're talking, when you're speaking that low, you have to enunciate it. You have to make sure that you are saying the words correctly, that people are hearing what you are saying. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was, every day I went in there was a lesson in theater and a lesson in television.
Right.
A lesson in, like you said, watching what the cameras do and learning angles and learning that don't stop until they say cut. Stay in that character until they say cut. Because I was coming out, I was like, I finished my line, so I don't know about anybody else, but I finished my line. Now, who talks now? And I had to realize, no, because the camera is still rolling.
Right.
So stay in that character.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
That is great.
A whole nother sensibility. Yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Is it hard watching yourself?
It is. It's hard for me to watch myself. I've gotten better at it because, and I think it's more because of how we grew up.
Mm.
You know, we've got so many issues with our look and our skin tone and our everything, you know? So when you grow up being self-conscious about how big your lips are and how many teeth you have, because I've got a lot of teeth.
You're so...
I got a lot of teeth, which served me well on the Broadway stage, but not, I didn't think, not necessarily for television. And I think that's what also kept me from doing television sooner, because I just did not like the way I looked.
Aww.
But it also has to do with who is behind the camera and who's,
that's,
you know,
true.
What I mean? Who's,
yep,
doing costumes,
that's,
and who's
true,
doing makeup and
that's
all of
true,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So The Good Fight had some amazing makeup people and costume people.
Okay.
And what was beautiful about it, too, is they included you in the process. You know, they asked, do you like that? Do you like that?
Oh, okay.
Do you feel good in that? Or the makeup person was like, did you like how I did your eyes?
Right.
Did you suggest anything? And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to just putting you in something or putting your makeup on and then that's it. So,
right.
Yeah, so that made a difference. And it made me go, oh, okay, let me see what I'm doing. And so I would watch the episodes like way, way after.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Any film,
so that's
projects?
That's a personal thing, so. Huh?
Any film projects?
Film projects, no.
Would you do?
Other than the Good Girls Gone Bad or whatever.
Right,
that was
wrong,
whole
too.
But, that was low budget, and I was like, okay.
But would you be interested? You did stage, TV, film. Would you be interested in doing a major film project?
I think I would, depending on the, you know, the subject matter and how much I have to do, stuff like that. Because also, my memory ain't what it used to be. And it gets harder and harder to memorize lines. It gets harder and harder. I just did a play called Mystic Conversations, which,
uh-huh,
I loved it. I played a mystic.
Uh-huh.
But it took me forever to memorize my lines. I don't know what it was. I apologize to the director and the writer, and they were wonderful about it.
Right.
I said, I'm going to get as close as I can to what's the meaning of all this.
Can y'all,
it's,
give
so
me room to improvise? Can y'all give me room,
yes,
to improvise, please?
Did. Yes.
I love it.
But yeah, I wouldn't mind doing a feature film. I wouldn't mind doing one.
All right. Brenda is up for a film. So,
dang.
<okay. laughs> Now, someone of your stature, it's only fitting for you to become a professional, an entrepreneur, and the boss that you deservingly to be.
Mm-hmm.
You launched Leading Ladies Just for Teens, and you did B. Braxton, and,
mm-hmm,
you have another project called Pause. So let us know about,
yes,
these independent projects that you've launched.
Yes. Well, I launched Leading Ladies while we were on Broadway doing Smokey Joe's Cafe. And what I would do, I would get groups of young girls, you know,
mm-hmm,
at risk teenagers, and they would come in on Sunday mornings with their counselors, and we would have kind of like a seminar before the matinee,
uh-huh,
and we would talk about setting goals and having dreams, and, you know, if you were in a perfect world, what would you be doing?
Wow.
And then if I could, I would try and help them get job, like internship. And so, and then they would see the show, they would meet the cast. And we had a lot of women working backstage, like our electrician and our prop,
nice,
person were women. And so they would get to meet women who,
right,
even though they weren't on stage, they were still part of the theater community.
Right.
And they were doing, you know, they got to see women doing other things,
man,
in the theater community. So,
nice,
that's when I launched that.
Uh-huh.
And then I launched B. Braxton, Exceptional Grooming for Exceptional Men, which is so interesting. I believe we were a little ahead of our time. We launched it in 2006. And it was a gentleman's grooming parlor. We did barbering, facials, massage, manicures, pedicures, hot towel shaves, stuff like that. We had a reception area where you could have a cocktail or,
right,
some coffee or tea and music and jazz, you know, jazz,
yeah,
and all,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And it took a minute for it to catch on. And because of that, I also had to keep working. And so I would go out of town. And unfortunately, I didn't have the people helping me that would help keep it afloat. And so we ended up closing, and then I reopened it a year later, but it just couldn't sustain.
You did get,
oh,
an,
yeah,
you did,
I
get
got
an award.
Award.
All right.
Yep.
It was recognized for the effort in which you, it was recognized for the effort in which you had definitely envisioned.
Absolutely.
You had a nice clientele as well.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. One of my major people who I worked with was Billy Porter.
Oh, okay.
Billy Porter. Yeah, Billy Porter used to come to B. Braxton's because we were good friends.
Right.
And yeah, so we had a couple of people come through. We had Love and Hip Hop did a couple of episodes there.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, so we were starting to catch on, but we were still ahead of our time. And then in 2008 was kind of like when it started having problems, that all of America was having problems.
Right, right.
And it just, you know, it just didn't pan out. But now, pause, since I have become a woman of a seasoned age, and now everybody's talking about menopause. I was talking about, again, before my time, I was talking about menopause years ago. But I launched Pause by B. Braxton, which is, started out as a quarterly gift box, subscription gift box, and it had a whole lot of really, really good stuff in it. Stuff for to help you sleep, to help you with moisture, to help you with, you know, anxiety, all kinds of stuff. So it's
Girl, let me tell you. Yes. I'm going through it, and I can't stand having my glasses on, and then all of a sudden they fogging up because my body heat.
Because you got a
just,
hot flash.
Right.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. So that's one part of it. And then I just became certified to sell my travel case, my Pause by B. Braxton travel case in airports.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it's a, it's a mini version of what's in the box and has all kinds of good stuff. It has a rechargeable fan. It has, you know, magnesium, all kinds of stuff. And I have two sizes of that. And so that's what I've been getting ready to really push for the holidays.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your Black Friday together.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Pre-order now.
Right. And tell them where to pre-order it.
Yeah, you can pre-order. Definitely. You can pre-order. And I have an Indiegogo going on for 4 more days because I also presented the idea of a pause lounge at the airport.
Oh.
Which would cater to women going through menopause, and they would have their own lounge to kind of chill out and, you know, and get themselves together and be around women who understand what's going on.
Yes.
Because women tend to get to the airport earlier anyway, but they often have to deal with everybody else and everybody else's stuff. Not till you get to that gate and you're all sweaty and tired and irritable and, you know. And people just don't understand it.
That's true.
So my Indiegogo, yeah, is for that. But I'm not going to get to my goal, but I will be able to still use the funds. I want to do a TikTok. I'm going to launch on TikTok as well.
Okay.
And so I'm going to have to, like, really get a lot of products, a lot of, you know, everything. So the funds will be used for that as well.
Nice. So, congratulations.
You know, I'm just trying to keep going.
Yeah. No, everything you're doing is, of course, in excellence and of excellence.
Thank you.
My final question, what is Broadway looking like these days? What's going on with Broadway? Are you done with Broadway?
Broadway is struggling.
Okay.
You know, you never say you're done.
Okay.
Because I have a girlfriend who, she did Dreamgirls with me, and she never really did any other Broadway shows. She did a lot of off-Broadway. She did a lot of TV and stuff like that. But she literally just replaced LaTanya in Purpose on Broadway.
Okay.
So she did, like, the last... And she's 69 years old.
Okay.
And so she went back to Broadway. So you never say never. I'm very kind of discerning about what I would do on Broadway, what kind of role I would play.
Right.
You know, and again, would I be able to sustain 8 shows a week?
You ever thought about writing a play?
Well, I actually wrote a screenplay. I did an adaptation of Pygmalion, My Fair Lady.
Okay.
And I actually did it as a screenplay, and then I switched it over to a Broadway musical, and then I went back to the screenplay. And what I did was I switched genders. So all of the men are women, and all of the women are men.
Right.
So I did write that. But getting shows up is very, very hard, very difficult, especially as a writer. It's getting better because you have producers like LaShawn, who is also a good, good friend of mine, who are taking chances on new shows and things like that. But it's still very hard to get new pieces up. Everybody wants to do the same old,
right,
one more time.
Right.
You know, so it that gets hard too. I really want to concentrate on Pause by Bea Braxton.
Okay.
Because I have such a passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we will never run out of women going through menopause. So there will always be that doll going through menopause and sweating her way through an airport.
You ain't never lied. That is the truth.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try and do a podcast with, you know, video and all that kind of stuff. That's what I'm working on now. And I'm also taking care of my mom, so it's hard to do anything that has like rehearsals every day and all that kind
right
of stuff. You know, I've gotta do what you gotta do.
Absolutely. So let everybody know, Brenda, you know, your social, how they can connect with you with Pause.
Yes. Well, on Instagram I am Pause by Bea Braxton _, and on Facebook I'm Pause by Bea Braxton. TikTok, I'm Pause by Bea Braxton. So, yeah, and go to my website, www.pausebybeabraxton.com.
I love it. Well, yes. As we say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to prosper and do the things that you're doing, please remember us and allow Urban Buzz Magazine to be one of your media outlets.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, thank you.
You are welcome. Brenda, thank you so much. This was just fun.
This was fun. Yeah.
It was.
Just fun. Period.